This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nelly. Our guest this week is Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with NFU's Rob LaRue next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net. Providing individualized protection on more than 540 million acres of farmland, crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The National Farmers Union is among the list of commodity organizations and ag groups calling on Congress to approve updated risk management policy and a new farm bill. NFU President Rob LaRue says the financial climate is challenging and getting worse for a wide range of farmers.
We hear, first of all, anecdotal stories, right, of folks eating away at some of their equity, and then on top of that, just knowing that folks are getting huge hits in terms of cash flow, and trying to service debt is just becoming, you know, a bigger challenge every day. And the thing about these stories that we're hearing, Jeff, is it's not just coming from those new producers and folks who are trying to make sure that they can build some equity out there. And you know, we know that that's a huge lift. But we're also hearing from folks who have been in the game for a long time, who know the cycles that are out there. And so with those stories, along with, you know, what we're hearing from lenders out there, we know that the situation is getting tight now, and we certainly expect it's going to get even tighter as we get into 25.
Agriculture is a cyclical business, and yes, we have come through a period of time when there were excellent returns for crops, but we appear also now to be headed to a period of time where inflation and input costs have moved up and commodity prices have moved down, and the margin outlook for 25 and for the next few years, according to FAPRI, is that of some very, very lean times. Is another extension of the 18 bill enough to help producers through this season ahead?
Certainty of a farm bill gives you something, no doubt about it, but it would be a huge missed opportunity if we can't take the moment now, knowing kind of economic conditions today and looking at the projections for next year, that we don't build some additional support in there to make sure that farmers have the tools necessary to be resilient. As you said, these markets are cyclical. We've seen these kind of cycles over the years. If we're in this moment now where we can build in better protections, we ought to do it.
There is a period where you've been through a higher income level, and farmers are able to build some equity, maybe add on in terms of capital or land purchases, and then you're forced in those lower times to use up that equity. I'm told by a number of producers that the equity is gone, and they're down to the bone. And because of the dip in commodity prices, not only are they concerned about getting operating loans in 25, they're concerned about paying the bill for this year.
That's consistent with the stories that we're hearing. And the other thing that's, you know, tied to this is that's kind of tied to those commodity prices, right? But we also know that we have localized situations where we have weather conditions that are adding to that. So We're definitely not in a situation where you can, you know, with really strong yields, be able to at least try to cover some of that with a lot more grain. In the area that my farm is in right now, we are the driest that I have seen in probably decades. And so, you know, when you have those kind of disasters on top of The other pressure points, it makes things really challenging. As you put it, not only today, but, you know, it's going to get a lot worse looking forward.
I had a conversation with Todd Van Hoos with Farm Credit, and we were talking about the situation and the message that was coming from lenders. And the point that he made was not only was this tough on the young and the beginning farmer, as you suggested, but then again, there's the more seasoned farmer that probably isn't far from retirement. And the question is, do they want to dip into their savings and in their retirement to be able to farm for a few more years to break even at best?
I hear that from my neighbors all the time here. And I think it's not only that, right? But we know that as families are looking maybe to bring on another family member, you know, with the hope of being able to kind of keep a farm in the family for multiple generations, that these kinds of conditions right now make those conversations, which are can be tough in the best of times, even tougher right now as the next generation is looking at the pressures that the older generation is facing right now. So this is going to have a big impact, I think. And so once again, in spite of a little bit of talk about a short-term extension or bumping this farm bill down the road, I think our message has been and will continue to be, we need to be using this opportunity now to build in support to help folks through this these struggling next at least couple of years.
I think there were a number of farmers that were pleased to hear that the big four of the House and of the Senate Agriculture Committees didn't necessarily want to see a farm bill extension in the continuing resolution that was pressing forward for still the possibility of approving a farm bill in the calendar year, maybe not by the end of the fiscal year. But then we learned in Kansas City at the Ag Outlook Forum there, Senator Jerry Moran had been in conversation with Chairwoman Stabenow, and were long on rumor and short on detail, but the idea was another extension with some sort of a financial assistance package. I don't know that you would say ad hoc, but some additional assistance package to be approved in a CR. What are your thoughts?
You know, I, without knowing any of the details, I want to pluck a little bit of optimism out, at least of the rumors there, and the fact that there is talk about what could be done by the end of the year. But I hope that not only the four corners, but the Ag Committee's members themselves will recognize that, you know, with so much on the line right now, that we just have to, you know, big things are possible in a short amount of time. Congress has proven that in the past, and I don't know a bigger moment right now to deliver, not only for farmers, but for consumers, really what we know is, as much a food bill and a national security bill as to get bailing a farm bill before the end of the year, that will serve us, better for the next 5 years.
The one thing that I hope we don't come down to is agriculture and the need for a safety net for farmers versus nutrition programs. But the rules are clearly written different. And Senator John Hoeven back in the spring made this point that we've made a tremendous increase in spending for nutrition programs, but we haven't provided a better safety net, and especially now that the economic climate has changed, there's reason to do both. The question is, can we afford to do both? As a farm organization, how do you address both sides of this farm and nutrition bill that we hope to see approved?
First of all, going by just like it is a farm and food bill, and it is a national security bill. So the stakes are huge in this, and it's huge for making sure that folks don't go hungry in the country. It's huge to make sure that farmers remain on the land that can produce the food. And for all of those reasons, and the fact that we have a long history now of the importance of a very fundamental, wide-reaching network and coalition of groups from consumers to farmers to conservationists, the hunting crowd, all of these groups working together to make sure that a farm bill can get across the finish line. We need that long, deep coalition now more than ever to be able to get around. If this comes down to individual pieces of the farm bill competing against each other, I think we're going to see a continuation of the last year over year now, and that is getting nowhere.
How does the NFU feel about the proposal that came through the House Ag Committee? What would you change? What would you hope for if we could get language from the Senate toward the final measure?
Well, I think what's encouraging about that, right, is that they tried to get creative, and I'm all about trying to find creative ways to find additional resources. Certainly there's a huge question pending right now about so-called directed scorekeeping and whether or not CBO is going to recognize some of those savings in order to build up the safety net. But I think, you know, what's, again, encouraging about it is that you have a lot of creative ideas, and we need a lot more of those if we're going to get a farm bill that's going to be able to get through on the House floor and ultimately on the Senate floor. I think, you know, the other thing that's really encouraging about the House proposal is the fact that they were able to get it through their committee. I think they recognize that they still have a lot of work to do to build the level of support to get it across the House. But this is why there's an opportunity here for the Senate to now engage in a much deeper way, and for the four corners to, for those of us that have been tracking farm bills for a long time, I think, you know, we all see the possibility. We see the compromises on some of the ways to get some additional money, the opportunities if we have the buy-in from the top leadership in the House and the Senate. So we're talking about the Speaker's office and the majority leader in the Senate. If everybody is on board with the need to get a farm bill done, a lot of things are possible. And I think, you know, a path is there should we and they take the opportunity.
Well, this is country boy analysis, but I'm thinking of Chairwoman Stabenow and the idea of an extension and some sort of an assistance package. Well, the House bill is being criticized because it's $33 billion in the red. If we can come up with an ad hoc or with a financial assistance package for 1 year, can we not also find a way to come up with the funds to just go ahead and approve a farm bill?
You know, I think your point is a good one, Jeff, and that is the fact that we've seen time and time again that when the desire is there for Congress to actually find the resources to get something done, that big things can happen. And so certainly what I'd like to see is less talk about temporary solutions and more talk about finding those resources necessary to get a comprehensive farm bill done and across the finish line.
Most would agree that what agriculture really needs is a shot in the arm from the export market or demand from somewhere. And with regard to trade, from the Harris platform, don't hear a lot of specific details about how trade would be addressed. And from the Trump platform, it seems that tariffs will be a part of the measure and that those would be used as perhaps a negotiating tactic. How do you feel about exports, and what do we need to see from the White House, from Congress, to provide opportunity?
We need any administration to be doing everything possible to make sure that we are building all markets, local, domestic, internal markets, as well as making sure that demand for exports is strong and growing. What we were encouraged to hear, a lot of our members that were able to participate in a briefing by the U.S. Trade Representative's office was a strategy that I think has some promise, and that is one that the current Biden administration is taking to make sure that as we focus in making sure that we're doing all we can with China, which is a tough situation, that we're growing those other Asian markets, but looking beyond Asia for other parts of the world that you know, maybe in and of themselves, any individual country isn't a huge win, but if we can begin to kind of build up a lot of additional market opportunities out there, it at least builds in some resilience so that any one market isn't going to have the impact, you know, good or bad, that might otherwise have happened. I think that what gives me pause is any strategy by any administration that pits us potentially in a trade war by ourselves against the China. That had devastating consequences that we're still feeling some of the ripples from, and in spite of being able to use CCC authority to get payments out there to help stem some of the pain, I think that's a very risky proposal for farmers and ranchers anyway.
I think about that, and from the dollars and cents perspective, from the House proposal, again, $33 billion in the red. So then if you move into using tariffs and you find yourself in another trade war, the policy that you approve would have tied the hands of the CCC. Farmers would be left even in a worse shape than they're in right now. And if there's no assistance, what does that leave for the country? If there is assistance, how do you pay for it?
The CCC authority that the secretary has is pretty incredible. Regardless of the administration, making sure that the USDA has some latitude to be able to kind of help either with purchases off the market to find to provide assistance there in short-term needs and so forth is going to be something that we just know from past history, but a lot of uncertainty in the future. Making sure that we have that authority kind of going forward is something we can't afford to get rid of completely. That said, I think that the House's proposal on that is interesting, again, in the sense that it might be able to be modified in such a way that we can capture some savings, but I think if it's done incorrectly, can tie the Secretary's hands into the future, really at the detriment of those of us who farm.
Rob, there was a memorandum of understanding that was signed, as I understand, between the USDA and the National Farmers Union, and it has to deal with making sure that there's enough people in county offices to service the farmers who need programs or signing up and working with the agency toward their operations.
That's right. So I certainly Farmers Union for a long time, and I think many farm organizations, we all know the importance of those county offices and people in them. And so making sure that those offices remain open, remain fully staffed, and remain capable into the future here to deliver services for us in an efficient and appropriate manner here is, I think, on everybody's in everybody's best interest. This MOU between FSA and National Farmers Union is really centered around having conversations all across the country with farmers and ranchers, with FSA, to make sure that as they are looking out into the future, that farmers' input is a big part of ensuring that future viability of those county offices.
I don't want to put these two together, but they seem to fall together, especially when it comes to Capitol Hill. It's in the campaign as well about the border issue between the U.S. and Mexico. And then there is the agriculture issue and the need for labor. I know these are two separate topics, but they don't seem to be able to be separated in order to give a solution for agriculture. Where does the Farmers Union stand?
Boy, I tell you, we've been a part of the Ag Workforce Coalition for many, many years, along with a number of other farm organizations. And if it had been left up to the farm groups and agriculture and ag members up on Capitol Hill, we would have had this resolved quite a long time ago. Unfortunately, every time we find a solution, we find a path through here to deliver more certainty and improvements in things like H-2A and, you know, trying to address some of these workforce challenges, it inevitably gets wrapped up into the larger kind of questions of comprehensive immigration reform. And so it's tough for me to see right now how we're going to manage to thread the needle. We've been trying for a long time. It is wrapped up into campaign issues, but I think agriculture needs to keep focused on the fact that we have to have solutions. This labor problem is not going to go away. It is continuing to become more severe. And we can't afford the politics to get in the way of our businesses.
Inflation Reduction Act, sustainable aviation fuel. We talked about the need for demand. what could this market mean for U.S. crop farmers and indirectly to livestock in the byproducts that might come from the processing of corn, soy, and other crops. Yet we still lack new regs to which feedstuffs are going to qualify for those tax credits in the future under 45Z. What communication have you had with the administration, and what results should we expect?
Well, I tell you what, both Secretary Vilsack, when our members met with him a few days ago, and then we had EPA Administrator Regan speaking as well, this issue came up very directly, and it was encouraging to hear that there is a recognition that having agricultural feedstocks as part of the solution here is, important not only for rural America, but certainly is important for the future viability of this entire industry. There's a lot of hope out there. I hope that they can continue to kind of translate into regulations that give our feedstocks, a fair and honest shake and opportunity in this, and that we aren't burdened by additional regulations either around the way that some of the crops are grown, some of the practices. We all want the same goal. And we can achieve, I think, a great deal if we give farmers some flexibility on how they grow sustainably are able to deliver the feedstocks necessary to get this infant industry off the ground.
Rob, there's plenty of issues obviously taking place here in the U.S., the need for the Farm Bill, the continuing resolution, if possible, to keep the government funded. No shortage of things that are on the table, including an election. But globally, the world hasn't stopped while the U.S. is facing plenty of issues on the table. You will be a part of some meetings overseas with some of our fellow members of the G7 coming up. What do you expect to be on the agenda on the table?
Yeah, so it's a great opportunity, I think, for farmers who are from those G7 countries, if you will. And so we're talking about, countries like Canada, France, Germany, Japan, Italy, and the UK. And the ag ministers from each of those countries, including Secretary Vilsack from the U.S., are going to be gathering there to talk through a lot of kind of shared goals, opportunities, and challenges. So everything from trade to climate and sustainability issues. This is a perfect opportunity for representative farm organizations from each of those to come in. We have drafted a declaration that effectively says we want to work with you, that farmers and ranchers have a voice in making sure that our trade opportunities are both fair, open, transparent, that we're creating opportunities there, and that even as we're fighting to make sure that we can keep up with food demand and food production, that we're doing it in the most sustainable way, and making sure really that in whatever these international governing bodies are doing, that they're doing it with farmers and not to farmers.
Rob LaRue, we want to thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us here on this edition of Open Mic and to talk about so many different topics that are at play right now. Thanks for being here. You've been here before, and today you get the mic for the last word, sir.
It's all about the Farm Bill right now. Too often as we're looking, staring at an election ahead of us, as we're staring looking for compromises, we cannot compromise away the need to make sure that farmers can stay on the ground over the next 5 years, make sure that consumers are set up, make sure that we're also doing all this in a very sustainable way. All of those things can be achieved. We cannot afford to sell any of it short, so we're going to keep up the push to get a full 5-year Farm Bill done by the end of the year.
Our thanks to Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellie.